morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Laura Stevert is here from the Quincy Society of Fine Arts, Arts Quincy. And we're going to talk a little bit, as we do every Wednesday morning, about great things going on in the arts world. People are out looking frantically for an item to buy somebody, and perhaps a membership in one of your 55 member agencies would be a great gift, or a membership to Arts Quincy itself.
That's right. We've got lots of great gift ideas in the arts, and you know, these are the kind of gifts that keep giving all year long. Of course, we'd love to have you on board as a member of Arts Quincy. We are running a membership special right now called a Get One, Give One. So if you join Arts Quincy as a family member, we're going to give you another family membership that you can give to someone you love to bring them on board, too. And that's going to get you a full year of subscription to our magazine and all the great benefits of being an Arts Quincy member. But like she said, we have 55 organizations to choose from. Maybe you know someone in your life who loves the local history and might join the Historical Society. excuse me, I got a little frog. And all of these organizations throughout town have great membership opportunities or season tickets, which are one of my favorite gifts. I was just talking to my husband about what I like, what I'd like for Christmas. And I said, wouldn't it be nice to have a whole year of dates with you? If we got season tickets to Quincy Community Theater.
Good idea.
And of course, we already have our season tickets for the Quincy Symphony Orchestra, but they're on sale, and the Quincy Civic Music Association.
Right. You've only missed, I mean, it's still not too late to get season tickets for those events because they still have great concerts still to come in the year ahead. And then once you get on the cycle, you know that the season may start before Christmas, but it can still be what you always give each other guaranteed for Christmas.
And what's great is some of these organizations, like the Quincy Community Theater and the Symphony, offer these flex ticket packages. So maybe you think, I might not make all of those shows, but I'd like to make a good number of them. You can try those flex tickets. And next season of the Quincy Community Theater is just outstanding. I'm looking really forward to seeing Mamma Mia.
Elf,
the musical, and The Witches. Really great season all around. And Quincy Symphony Orchestra still has the big Planets concert, which is with the choir and everybody together. So that will be a great, great show. So tickets or even single tickets or season tickets make great gifts.
You can also buy artwork. I know the Quincy Arts Center sells artwork. Many of the member organizations, whether it be china painting or wood carving, or they have opportunities for you to buy their handcrafted items.
Absolutely, and that kind of goes right into that Small Business Saturday that everyone is talking about, because lots of the local downtown businesses sell artwork. So that's a great place to go and find where our local artists are displaying their wares, and just a huge amount of talent going on right now. Also, at the Quincy Arts Center, classes are a great gift. So,
yes.
So maybe you know somebody who's always wanted to take a pottery class or a painting class, or maybe you want to take an acting class at QCT or even a local dance class or something like that. Classes make amazing gifts because that's something that's going to keep giving as long as they're in that and maybe spark an interest in a new hobby.
Yeah. You never know what the world of arts can open up, and the great thing about it is it's gifts for adults and for children. You know, mom and pop will enjoy, you know, the symphony tickets. The kids can go free with them. And maybe there are children's classes at the theater and at the Arts Center and at other places as well. And so it's just fantastic. If you are interested in giving the gift of arts, definitely go to artsquincy.org. Artsquincy.org and check it out.
And check out our Facebook page. On Black Friday, we will be running every hour. We're going to give you another idea in the arts.
Great.
A gift in the arts. So check out our Facebook page there for more information.
And the buy one, get one free offer. Tell us again, recap that for us real quickly.
So to become a new member of Arts Quincy right now, and this is for new members only, you can buy yourself a family membership. Those are $50 for the year-long family membership, and we're going to give you another family membership that you can give to someone you love. You can choose to have that mailed to you so that you can hand it to them in person. It's a beautiful little envelope and great little certificate. Or we can sit it out on your behalf to arrive right before Christmas.
Okay, it sounds great. ArtsQuincy.org for all of your arts, shopping, and gift-giving needs. Thank you very much, Laura Sievert. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Mary.
Back with the man who wants to be our congressman, Brian Dieters, right after this break. We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and joining me via the phone lines is Brian Dieters. Brian Dieters has ambition to be the next U.S. congressman from Western and Central Illinois. Good morning, Mr. Dieters.
Good morning to you. How are you?
I am great. Now you sound like you're talking in a barrel. You're not on.
Yeah,
you're not on hands free, are you?
Well, I tell you, I mean, I'm actually back in Switzerland right now, so hopefully this works out okay.
Well,
the best we can.
We'll do the best we can, and that brings up the first question. You were born and raised in Quincy, but have not really lived here in your adult life. You've been an educator by trade, and although you're running for U.S. Congress, you are reestablishing a residency in Illinois because you're calling from Switzerland. I haven't even got any idea what time it is over there, but I'm sure it's not.
it's 4:20.
4:24. Good.
Well, yeah. So the situation with that is that we were transferred here with my wife's job 5 years ago, and our residence is in Morton. So as you said, I am a teacher. And I taught for nearly 20 years in Morton, which is near Peoria. And obviously it's on the east side of the 18th district. So I was born and raised in Quincy, which most people suspect when they see my last name. And it's really given us an interesting experience to live over here, to see the world from a different lens. And I actually think it's something that I'm excited to bring those experiences and let people know that the world is definitely concerned about where we are at. That's something that I've experienced firsthand, and it's one of the reasons that's driven me to this point to pursue this.
Yeah, it's interesting because, believe it or not, what a small world. I'm having Thanksgiving dinner on Friday with a gentleman who was born and raised in Quincy and now lives in Switzerland in his home visiting. So it's kind of intriguing. This Quincy to Switzerland connection is kind of intriguing. But the world is a small place, and West Central Illinois has to find its place in that world, and they have to compete in that world. Lots of things to talk about when you're running for U.S. Congress. Education is one of the things that you want to put at the forefront, but a lot of people are frightened by the federal government being too involved in education. So how does your education experience really compute when you're running for a federal seat rather than, say, a local seat?
Yeah. Well, of course, schools have been, since the development of our country, and need to continue to be run at the local level, from obviously the school boards on through the state. There needs to also be a federal role in that as well, and we've seen that over the years. But where I come from is more on trying to create a platform of awareness. Being a teacher, the one thing that I've experienced teaching both in the U.S. and the state of, you know, in Morton, as well as now over here in this international school, is really by and large how the institution of education is perceived, how teaching as a profession is perceived. And I think it's something that we just maybe need to be thinking about with regards to what are our priorities, and where we want to move forward as a country. So a quick story along those lines that I've been sharing, because I think it really says a lot. I can tell you on numerous occasions as a teacher when I was living in the U.S., and of course there's a tremendous amount of people who support education and support us as teachers, but by and large, there is, and statistics will back this up, an overall attitude of, you know, discontent in the system. And the story I was going to share with you is I've had on numerous occasions people say to me, you know, they were trying to give me a compliment, I think, you know, you seem like you're a smart guy. Why are you a teacher? And, you know, I started to really think about that statement, that question, and what that really means overall in our society. On the other side of it, since I've lived here, the attitude of the profession is one that's very different. And I can't really explain it other than to just say it to you, that it's just perceived in a different light, in a more respectful light. So the long story short is I think we need to refocus on what the profession means to us as a society. I think maybe we've gotten away from that a little bit. So that's really a lot of what I'm trying to advocate, and that at the end of the day, we have a lot of systems that are dysfunctional, a lot of pockets of our culture, including pockets in the 18th district, that are really struggling with how their schools are operating. We need great teachers. When we think about school, when we think about our own experiences, it always comes back to those great teachers that we had. And I think we're at a critical point. If you look at the statistics for our state, as well as the country, you see that we are in a crisis mode. We have less and less people that are pursuing the profession. And to me, that's a very alarming thing.
It is. It is alarming. The smartest people should be teachers, and that's kind of crazy. Let's talk about taxes. Well, you have to get through the Democratic primary first, but somebody is going to have to face Congressman Darren LaHood, Republican, incumbent, and he voted for the tax reform package put forward by the Republicans. Is there anything about the bill you can support, or would you have voted no on that bill if you had been a congressman?
I would have voted no, and I would have voted no largely on the fact that I've done, like a lot of people, a lot of studying up on people's views on this bill. To me, it's pretty obvious that this is a bill that's certainly geared towards benefiting those, you know, in the very elitist of situations in our country. It's being sold as something that's a tax break to the middle class, but I see little evidence to suggest over the course of the next couple of years that that indeed is going to be the case. You know, my situation or my philosophy is that trickle-down doesn't work. As a history teacher, we have numerous examples of that. You know, on paper, maybe it sounds like it's a sensible way to go, but there's too many intangibles involved. So when you look back at times in history where we've advocated that, whether that's, you know, pre-dawning of the 20th century to certainly the 1920s to in the 1980s and kind of where we're at today, is concerning. We need to put more power into the working and middle class. That's just what I believe, and I will promote policies that advocate that.
What about the Farm Bill? You know, the Farm Bill can get lost in Congress because more and more people are so far removed from the farm. Did you grow up in the Dieters family that was in the dairy industry here?
Exactly. That's my family's dairy. Both of my parents, Tom and Jane, are Quincy natives and educators as well. But my grandfather, Fabe, and his brothers and sister all were part of the dairy. That's certainly part of our family. So, of course, agriculture, farming is a massive institution of importance in our society, in our district, and it's one that kind of historically has always gotten the raw end of the deal sometimes with this attention because of everything else. So, you know, I think what we need to do is realize some of the issues connected to how we can continue to help agriculture. You know, one of the big topics that's been in the political spectrum, particularly last year, was the situation with NAFTA. And, you know, anybody who does their homework on that realizes that for our area agriculturally, it's something that's very beneficial to the farmers. So obviously it's extremely important that we continue to advocate for our farmers.
Now, there can be a divergence there, a dichotomy between the farming interest and maybe the manufacturing interest when it comes to foreign trade. So, you know, that's a line you have to walk as a U.S. congressman.
Yes. You're right. I mean, but I think the importance is, and maybe this is where being an educator can be a good thing, is trying to be as transparent as possible. You're correct that obviously, you know, some of the concerns of these NAFTA and TPP and these things are what it can do to the industrial worker. I think the key is, the reality of it is, I've also experienced this living over here, you really get a feel for it. We can't escape where we are at. We just talked about it at the beginning with being a connected world. I think, you know, that's not going to go away. What we need to do is advocate for, you know, certainly our own workers in our district, but by also strengthening workers in other places so that it really is the middle and working class collectively, you know, not just in our district or our country, but in other parts of the world. And you're seeing more of that. I was met with the UAW last week, some of the guys there in East Peoria, and we were talking about just that. And I think, you know, we need to be realistic on where we're at right now. We are a globalized economy, whether we want it to be or not. It's not going to go away. So we need to be rethinking about, you know, the advocation of boosting the opportunity for the worker as opposed to kind of focusing on protectionism.
Well, you don't have to go far from where you are in Switzerland. I took a Rhine River cruise over the Easter holidays, and there's a big BASF plant on the Rhine River. And, of course, we have a plant right across the river here in Hannibal that's BASF.
Right.
And a Ford Motor Company is on the banks of the Rhine making small cars that are suitable for the European market. You're going to have to tell me when you have to go, because I'll talk to you all day. I find politics fascinating. let's get into...
We've got a few more minutes.
Okay.
I appreciate the conversation.
Let's get into immigration. It's kind of interesting to ask somebody who is an American citizen and is restoring their Illinois residency to run for Congress. What are your thoughts about immigration? It's fine to be an American moving to Switzerland. What about people that want to come to the United States? What should our immigration policy be?
Look, you know, obviously this is a difficult situation, and it's one that I think was exploited last year in the reemergence of kind of nativist views, which isn't healthy for anybody. That said, we need to think about, you know, who comes into our country, what they can bring to the economy, what they can bring to better the society in general. I mean, those are things that definitely need to be addressed. I think we just need to do it in a way that, you know, generally speaking, takes kind of a golden rule approach to how we develop our politics. Immigration is part of it. You know, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself, kind of an attitude, which is not a new thing that I've created, certainly in my mind, but we've seen that historically. Look, I mean, a lot of it is how we present ourselves. We definitely have to have rules in place and how you get into the country, and people need to be held accountable when they don't do that. But to create rhetoric of division just to circulate a lot of emotion is dangerous, and we've seen that in recent months. So, you know, it needs to be something where everybody's brought to the table, like all issues, and really, truly talk through as far as how we can continue to promote bringing people into our country. I think work-based merit types of philosophies that have been in the talk in recent months and years is a good start, but we need to do it with compassion.
So does that mean amnesty for dreamers?
Well, the dreamers, to me, that's an issue that, you know, I don't see how we can just say to them, sorry, you've grown up here, you've contributed, you've made your commitment, which the government, obviously, with the act that was recently implemented in the Obama administration, has called upon. No, we can't just send them off. I mean, that speaks to the whole idea of being sensible, being pragmatic, but also having a heart.
You know, this is one of those double-sorted issues, because immigration, when you talk about it just from we need a workforce, I mean, frankly, if there wasn't immigration, we'd have a terrible trouble in Quincy with medical doctors. I mean, we have many medical doctors that are here from foreign countries, and we're very glad to have them. This is a farm economy, and we need immigrant workers from low-income countries like, you know, in Central America. But, of course, we want to keep out, quote, the bad guys, whoever they are, ISIS and that allied thing. So when you get immigration all mixed together, you are afraid of terrorists, but then you lump them in with people who are here to pick our grapes and our tomatoes and our corn and to provide a neurological surgery for us. So it's kind of a mixed-up mash.
I think you hit it on the nose, and I think this speaks to kind of where I've come in and why I've been myself, as well as other, you know, teachers that feel this need to be active. It's because we're in a dangerous time on how we are in this state of absolutism and sensationalism, and it's driven by media. You mentioned ISIS. You mentioned fear of terrorism. And, of course, these are huge issues, and we need to protect ourselves. But we need to present it in the media, and this is on both ends, this isn't just looking at one angle, in a more responsible way. I mean, what has happened is, obviously, when you become more emotional, you become more irrational, and you become vulnerable to getting into these states of absolutism. You don't want to listen to the other side. You have a tendency maybe to get more fearful. You find comfort, thinking you're finding comfort on social media, and it only intensifies those fears. So by no means am I dismissing the concerns of terrorism and these horrible things in our society, but we do need to look at them with a bit more of a rational standpoint. And I think media has really done a number on all of us in that regard. And as a sociologist, that's definitely been something, particularly through the election season last year, that, you know, I was in tune in. It's just, it's demagoguery, right? It's just playing to people's emotions, and it's dangerous.
Ryan Dieter's my guest today. He is a candidate in the Democratic primary for the 18th Congressional District. I'll let you wrap it up with some kind of closing statement. What do you want the potential voters of West Central Illinois to know about Brian Dieter's and his run for U.S. Congress?
Yeah, I appreciate the time this morning. Basically, that we are trying to offer something different. I know that might sound cliche-ish, but at the end of the day, I am an educator. That's where I'm coming from. And the one thing that I know as an educator, one that's certainly taught in the district and I've lived in the district from west to east, so I know the people of the district well, is that we have way, way more in common than we do that divides us. But it is the division that is being focused on right now, and it needs to change. So our mantra that we're going with is it's time to heal, and we need to figure out our problems. It doesn't mean run from them or roll over in what we believe in, but having some common sense, coming to the table, ending this extreme partisanship that exists in Washington, and really trying to get stuff done. And I'm bringing that as an angle of a social studies teacher and as an angle of a father of kids who are going to be growing up in the middle of the country. So that's what's driving me. We've had a tremendous amount of support. We had a great weekend throughout the district and excited to get back in a couple of weeks and also through all of March and get settled back into our home in Morton and hopefully, if things work out, represent our district with as much effort and work as I can give to them. So thank you very much for the time.
Well, thank you. I'll leave you with these two thoughts. Go Hogs, right? The Morton Hogs? The Potters?
That's right.
Okay. See, you're not talking to a dummy here. And anyone who wants to leave Lucerne, Geneva, Zurich, Basel, and all those other places in beautiful Switzerland to come back to Morton, you must have a patriotic sense of heart. That's all I can say about that.
Well, I appreciate that, and I do. And our time is up here. It's been great, certainly, but we're excited to move back and continue our life where we're from.
Well, we'll see you when you're back or before then. I'm happy to come over there if you need me, okay? Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll make it work. Thank you so much, Mary.
Brian Dieter's, Democrat, candidate for U.S. Congress. He's got to get a primary opponent out of the way, and then he wants to take on Republican incumbent Darren LaHood.